As we arrive soon at the end of the season of Lent, we have a great gospel reading again this morning on the mercy of God. And in a sense, we're all a woman in the story because we too someday will stand in judgment before God, our particular judgment when we die. And in this story, Jesus twice bends on the ground and writes with his finger in the dust of the earth. And for centuries, Christians have wondered, what did he write? What did Jesus write? The church has no definitive answer. There's three theories, which we'll get to in another minute. But it's a very interesting story because the Pharisees have laid the perfect trap to trap Jesus, because he, no matter what answer they think that he gives, he's going to have to pay for it. The Pharisees, they lay the trap this way. If Jesus agrees with the Mosaic law and allows for the woman to be stoned to death, he's breaking Roman law, which prohibits the Jews from execution, you know, from having their own executions. And so the Pharisees will inform the Romans that Jesus is a dangerous figure. If Jesus disagrees with Mosaic law and does not permit the woman to be stoned, he's contradicting Scripture and the law of Moses. And so the Pharisees then will inform the Sanhedrin, the Jewish body of rulers, that Jesus, again, is a dangerous person. But once they launch their question, Jesus chooses to write on the ground with his finger. And so what did he write? Well, there's three theories, as I said. The first is that Jesus was buying time to think. In this case, Jesus was just doodling in the sand or in the dirt and trying to just diffuse the situation. Most people say that's ridiculous. And so they don't pay much attention to that as a good reason to guess what Jesus was writing in the ground. The second theory is that Jesus wrote in the dirt the personal sins of the men standing there with their stones in hand waiting to put this woman to death. And this could include the actual sins, perhaps even the names of the men who committed these sins. Because Jesus wrote down the sins they had committed, such as adultery, the men left to avoid loss of reputation. And the third theory is similar, but it includes a prophetic sign that Jesus was making in the earth. From Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13 says, that they depart from me, they that depart from me, shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And so Jeremiah suggests that those who turn away from God will have their names written down in some fashion, and this will symbolize divine judgment that will be cast on them. And so the Pharisees and scribes, they recognize this passage and its meaning, and so they still challenge Jesus. And so Jesus bends down a second time and writes out their names, this is what the theory proposes, and writes out their names next to the passage. And then the mob of scribes and Pharisees then get out of this by just walking away one by one. Well, whatever the theory is, the point is the same, I think, that they're trying to reach. It's a message of forgiveness. It's clear that when we turn to God for forgiveness, he is gracious and merciful to us. That's how he looks at us. So much so that he not only forgives our sins without condemnation, but he also makes us a completely new creation in Christ. And our Heavenly Father delights in this, in doing this for his children, in what gratitude we owe to him for being our God. And what's more amazing is that our sins don't drive Jesus away from us. They do the exact opposite. When we sin, Jesus is most with us. He searches after us to heal us and offer his his forgiveness. He goes even further than that. And so, if you feel unworthy to be called his disciple, if you think you're unworthy to serve in a parish ministry or to tell others about your faith, you know, to share your faith, you go out to lunch with a friend that's not Catholic on a Friday in Lent, and you kind of squirm a little bit, maybe because you don't want to order meat, but your friend's ordering a hamburger. Do you really stand up for your faith? These kinds of things that we can be afraid to do. Or perhaps we feel unworthy to be called his disciple because of our past, that we've been in have a habitual sin or a vexing sin that we can't seem to overcome. Well, if this is the condition you find yourself in, take heart. Take heart because of this gospel passage. Seek out God's forgiveness in the healing sacrament of confession. And then forget what is behind you. Forget the past. And be filled with gratitude that God has made you brand new. And that's all you have to do. Jesus is counting on every one of us to share his good news through our witness and through our service to others.